we're going to eventually need to resort to a different protein source because
Absolutely.
We're overfishing, we're overcrowding farms, you know.
And
we need something new.
Yeah, and if you think you don't eat insects, what do you think lobster is, people? lobster is a sea cockroach, basically, okay? So you're eating insects. They're in the same family, okay? They just live in different ecosystems.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. This episode comes from the earlier version of the podcast, known as the ETT Rap Show. Enjoy!
Thanks for stopping by and checking out this throwback episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Before we reach back in the vault and pull out an old episode from our ETT Rap Show days, I want to thank you guys for your continual support of the podcast. All the downloads are continuing to go up each month, and I want to thank you guys for not only listening, but also sharing the podcast with your friends, family, anybody you think could enjoy the health-centric information we distribute on a regular basis. Also, please, please, please give us a rating and review in iTunes or on our brand new Addicted Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Like I was mentioning before, this is a throwback episode to when the show was known as the ETT Rap Show. Those were back in the old days when we first started the podcast. And I know it's almost 2 years ago now, so it's kind of crazy to think about that. And this week's episode, it definitely still has some relevant information about, you know, health and nutrition, but it's also with the past co-host of the podcast, Tyler Knox, who actually made an appearance on a more recent episode, episode 55, where we talked about how fatherhood affects fitness. And that's really pertinent to me nowadays because I'm soon to be a father. So without any further ado, I hope you enjoy this throwback episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Welcome back to the ETT Rap Show with me via Skype one more time. Tyler Knox.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, buddy. How you doing?
I am good. Just living life and Skyping.
Oh, nice. How'd you do? What workouts did you get done this week? Anything good?
No. I did play softball last night. I had a doubleheader, but I had a pretty hectic week with family stuff.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I had a pretty light week as far as my personal training sessions went. Also, I had a couple one late cancellation, and then a couple guys were been fighting some colds, so gave them a week off. But I with that, let me get to the gym myself a little bit more than usual.
Oh, a little jujitsu?
Yeah, I got to get to jujitsu. Actually, starting as of last Friday, I went 4 times in the last week or so, which is pretty good for me.
Nice. And how long are those sessions?
Anywhere from about an hour to an hour and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, which is good. And I also went to a seminar from for a guy. His name is Gordon Ryan. He is a kind of like one of the premier jujitsu professional jiu-jitsu guys right now. He is pretty much, he was in Florida for a tournament, and then the next day, he actually a tournament that he won, and then he came the next day to my gym, and I took a seminar from him. He taught a lot of technique and a lot of stuff that was obviously new to me since I'm pretty new to jiu-jitsu, and a lot of really useful stuff. I really enjoyed it, but this guy is 20 years old, and he's literally one of the top jiu-jitsu artists in the United States, probably in the world, I would say, too, also.
Well, does he do both with gi and no gi?
No, he's pretty – I'm sure he's competed without the gi – I mean, with the gi, but his competition is basically no gi.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd say there are some professional leagues that do gi, but a lot of the, especially because a lot of people, especially the lay person, they're not as attracted to gi jiu-jitsu than no gi jiu-jitsu. Because with gi jiu-jitsu is a lot more, I would say, holding, because you have that gi to grab onto. So it's a little bit more slower pace,
And no-gi is a little bit faster paced. I say a little bit more exciting for the person who, you know, the lay person. So, he is, he comes from a great camp up in the New York, New Jersey area. He got his black belt, and I think he went from a purple to black, which is actually basically, you know, you go purple, brown, black for jiu-jitsu. He went from purple to black in, I think, a little over a year, which is ridiculous. And
he's 20 years old.
Yeah, 20 years old. He kind of gave us a little snapshot into his schedule. He said his Wednesdays are crazy, and he pretty much went through his whole schedule. He trains at, I think it was 5 different schools in the New York, New Jersey area in one day. So he does about 8 to 10 hours of training on a Wednesday. So, I mean, and he, like I said, he's legit. That's his job. Like, he lives at home with his parents, and basically his college education is an education in jiu-jitsu right now.
Yeah, which will probably make him more money than what you and I are making.
I hope so. Hopefully jiu-jitsu gets that big that he can make a living on jiu-jitsu, because he's awesome. He's badass. And like I said, he's a cool guy. And like I said, and pretty upset, has his head on his shoulders for 20 years old for the 2 hours I spent with him. So, but yeah, that was fun. Like I said, I'm glad I got to do that. I've been missing jiu-jitsu the last couple of weeks with going out of town and then just trying to get back into town and get my, get clients, take care of clients. You know, I've been missing the class. So this week was good. Good to get back into the swing of things.
Cool, man.
Yes, and obviously, speaking of jiu-jitsu, we had a pretty good advertisement for jiu-jitsu this past weekend with the past UFC. Did you see any of the UFC? Any highlights?
I saw the highlights of the losses, yes.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You know, the main event were Holly Holm versus Misha Tate and Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz.
And yeah, so I didn't realize that Conor was going to be fighting Nate Diaz, but I heard that it was like a 10-day switch. Like wasn't it something real close to the start of the fight?
Yep, it was. I think he had about 12-day notice is what I saw. Nate Diaz, they switched. They made that fight official about 12 days out. Conor McGregor's original opponent, Rafael Dos Anjos, broke his foot in training. So they were looking for an opponent. They had a couple, you know, potential opponents, and they landed on Nate Diaz at fighting at 170.
I don't like that, man. It's not a fair fight at that point.
Well, it's interesting because Nate Diaz normally fights at 155, but he was out of camp. So I think he proposed a catchweight at 165, is of what I've heard. And Conor was like, "No, let's do it at 170." Because I mean, before that, Conor actually, I guess bragged is the right word, but he claimed that he could go up to 170 and fight 170. I like Conor McGregor's, demeanor. I like his confidence. But obviously, when you go up that far in weight classes, it's a whole different game. You know, so
because he's normally 155.
He is the 145 champion. 145 champion. Okay. So he cuts a lot of weight to get to 145. He actually, I think, the week of the fight against Nate Diaz, he was 178. I heard. And then he cut down. He weighed at 168 on the night of weigh-ins. Mm-hmm. So, obviously he was eating pretty well. And didn't have to really, had to do a last cut the week of, which is pretty common for these guys. When you could just see the difference between Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor size wise. Even before the weight issue, Nate Diaz is a tall fighter and a long fighter. So he had that over Conor McGregor, but if you watch that fight, Conor McGregor was really winning that first round, landing his strikes and everything. But wasn't really hurting Nate Diaz. It's almost like he didn't have the power behind it to really hurt a 170 pounder, second round, Nate Diaz caught him with a 1-2, and you could tell that it stunned Conor. Stunned him to the point where Conor, I think, actually attempted a takedown, which is very un-Conor-like. And once they went to the ground, that's Nate's domain down there. He is proficient I mean, uber proficient in jiu-jitsu. You know, he's been a black belt for a long time. Him and his brother, Nick Diaz, they have a badass jiu-jitsu game.
So he ended up tapping him with what? What'd he do?
He had a rear naked choke. So
he pretty much, Connor had to either tap out or he'd go unconscious.
Go to sleep, exactly. Yeah. Nap, tap, or snap. That's the kind of a good way to put it. And he got him on the ground, did a little ground and pound, softened him up with some punches. Connor turned his back to him, and that's all it took. And he slapped that rear naked choke on. And like I said, and even the co-main event, it was Holly Holm, the new champion, who just beat Ronda Rousey a few months ago, seems like. She went up against Miesha Tate, and Holly Holm was beating her about 4 out of 5 rounds. And Miesha Tate, last round, got her back, choked her out.
Wow.
And Holly Holm didn't tap out. She actually went out. So,
oh, really? Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
She actually went out. She didn't tap out. So, like I said, best advertisement for jiu-jitsu, I think, that biggest advertisement, you know, that people have seen in a long time. So,
yeah.
It was
that's
pretty
crazy. That's cool.
Pretty badass. You know, both of those guys were both of those people were underdogs. Miesha and Nate were both underdogs, about 3-1. So it was kind of good. Good to see. And like I said, that's why I love MMA, is that it's always, it's never, you know, you never can bet on the favorite, you know, the favorite, I should say. You know, it's.
Now, Miesha Tate is going to be fighting Ronda Rousey in the summer, right?
It's looking that way. I know they won't try to have Ronda Rousey coming back on UFC 200, which is scheduled, I think, for July. Okay. I don't know. Like, I'd rather see her fight Holly Holm, because I think trying to see,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously I think that'd be kind of a number one contender match, because I think Holly versus Ronda would be a good elimination to see who goes fights Miesha, even though I think Miesha will fight in the meantime.
Yeah.
I think Ronda trying to, redeem, or, you know, try to erase that one blemish she has on her, she can't erase it, but, you know, go up against one person that beat her in her career, I think would be an interesting match, you know?
Yeah, I don't really feel like seeing Miesha versus Ronda right now, because Ronda's just killed Miesha 2 times.
I have to check, but I think they also fought in Strikeforce, so this would be the 4th match, I believe.
Oh, wow.
I could be wrong, though, but I know for sure in the UFC, like you said, they fought twice and Ronda won twice.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, Miesha, obviously, she's changed. So
hey, I like Miesha. I was talking to my cousin over the weekend, and he's not a fan. And I think Misha's got something.
Yeah. She's got a good – I'd say she's got probably one of the best overall games in that division. Because, like you said, Holly's got a great stand-up game, and obviously you saw a little exposure. You know, she was a little bit exposed in her ground game against Miesha. Ronda – her stand-up game obviously looks like it needs a little work, but her wrestling and her ground game is pretty probably number one in that division. But Miesha, I think, is the best overall in that division, it looks like. Hmm. But yeah, like, so exciting weekend of fights, and it was a great advertisement for jiu-jitsu, which I always I'm glad to see. Glad to see that that part of the sport gets some good cred, good representation. Yeah, so like I said, exciting weekend of fights, and led into a great week for me. And like I said, kind of light on the PT, heavy on the jiu-jitsu, light on the PT. But I actually had one of my clients now, my client that's doing twice a week, actually referred me to a friend of his. So
nice.
I have a new prospective client that I'm actually scheduled their initial kind of consultation and workout coming up this week.
Okay, and, so what's a bit of a perspective?
Like I said, I want to give the potential client a chance to see my type of training style. So obviously it's hard for me to sell something, you know, over the phone or, you know, have them look at pictures and stuff. I want to meet them in person and give them what my type of training, you know, explain what my training style is, put them through a workout, a short workout, and try to learn what their fitness goals are and how ETT can help them reach those fitness goals. Okay. So, yeah, like I said, that's why I said the right now, like I said, I don't know if we, after we do our initial, our consultation and workout, maybe they say, hey, you know, it's not for me. And I said, okay, that's fine with me. Like I said, what I enjoy, like what my training style might not be for everybody. So that's I know that for a fact. So I'm not going to try to get everybody to, you know, I will happily adjust the workout to meet people's fitness goals. But, you know, I have a certain type of training style that I like to promote and I encourage. And that's the one I set forth in my training sessions. So, but it's interesting because these potential clients, I've been speaking with them. It's a fiance and fiance. Is that
okay? A couple.
A couple. Thank you. A couple. And their 13-year-old son. So it's going to be a trio. Which I don't normally do, but like I said, I've run plenty of group workouts, so, you know, more than two people is not a problem. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic. It's going to be new to me. Fitness for younger people is kind of an important topic for me, trying to get younger people physically fit, because one of the biggest thing I think facing, you know, us today, and when I mean us, I mean like Americans, people in the United States, is kind of childhood obesity. So even though we've already spoke about how, you know, really diet is the key to kind of getting over obesity and being overweight, you know, exercise and especially martial arts and striking is not only a great way to be physically fit, but be mentally fit. And it's great to try to instill that in young people too.
Yeah, man. So have you met the kid yet?
I haven't met anybody yet. Like I said, this week coming up, I'm going to be the first time meeting and the first session and everything. But it sounds like she's excited, so I'm excited also. So it's good.
Nice.
Pause for effect. I had to take a little drink. Obviously, we just kind of mentioned nutrition, how that's nutrition is kind of the key to losing weight and whatnot. I heard an interesting topic this week. I think the past podcast we've touched on about a little bit of the kind of the grass-fed marketing, the, you know, grass-fed beef and grass-fed animal protein in general.
Yeah, we just mentioned it though, right?
Yeah, how it's kind of been kind of, I guess made popular lately. You know, you see a lot of it in grocery stores and advertised on TV and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I think we were kind of – I mentioned how some of it – a little portion of it might be somewhat of a marketing ploy. So I was listening to a podcast this week. And before I want to get into the whole kind of specifics, I think that grass-fed beef or animal – you know, if you eat animal protein, grass-fed options are the best options in my opinion. You know, it's still kind of up for debate. When I say grass-fed, I'm kind of mainly focusing on pasture-raised, so stuff. Because like I said, you can still, in a grocery store, you can buy a package of beef or a package of chicken that says grass-fed, that lives, you know, that eats grains at the end. It's a whole type of minutia that I don't want to get into yet. But I think the grass-fed, the benefits, nutritional benefits, are that is the fat profile opposed to the grain-fed beef. So I'm just going to talk about beef specifically right now.
Okay.
Grass-fed beef has more omega-3s, or the omega-3 ratio is better in grass-fed than grain-fed.
And omega-3s are fatty acids that are good for you, right?
Exactly. So there's different type of omegas. I know the main ones that we kind of like people know of are omega-3 and omega-6. So the ratio of omega-6 and omega-3s in grass-fed is a lot better for the omega-3s, which is kind of really the ones that are beneficial towards you. You want omega-6, but if it's too high, I think it can become it become detrimental to have too many omega-6. But like I said, grass-fed beef has that omega-3 ratio that's really beneficial, more beneficial than grain-fed. And this podcast I listened to for you guys for reference is called The Primal Blueprint. I know we kind of referred to it, Mark Sisson's, you know, podcast. Well, he's not on the podcast all the time, but this is kind of his, they have a weekly podcast. It's called the Primal Blueprint Podcast. And the one I listened to is from February 23rd, grass-fed versus conventional. When does it matter most? So if you guys want to listen to that, I found it on iTunes. So besides omega-3, there's a lot of essential minerals and vitamins that are higher in the grass-fed opposed to the grain-fed. So the one thing they touch on in here is that obviously I think one of the biggest points of contention for people is that it costs more, right? Like you see a pound of grass-fed is a couple dollars more than a pound of conventional. Well, I mean, like you got to think there's a lot less – ideally, there's a lot less natural resources going into the production of grass-fed because obviously you don't have to worry about, you know, grain-fed, the production of grains, really. Grass, you know, if you have a pasture, grass grows naturally. So the production of grains really requires a lot of fossil fuels, a lot of natural resources to produce.
Yeah, a lot of fertilizer, a lot of time for farmers, which costs people money because then they have to pay workers.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the way I kind of look at it is that the reason why the price is lower for the pound of conventional opposed to grass-fed is that, you know, the corn and soybean, kind of the grains that are fed to those grass-fed cattle, or grain-fed cattle, excuse me, is subsidized by the government.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of why they're able to, produce it and sell it at a lower rate. And another reason I like the grass-fed is because if you find a local farmer, I mean, you can support your local farmer, you know?
Yeah, you can find them at a farmer's market. You can literally meet the farmer. They bring you the meat. They could probably even tell you the cow that it came from.
Yeah.
Which you will never get at a grocery store. You're going to get a package of meat. If you get ground beef, that probably came from like 16 different cows.
It's amazing how disconnected we've become from our ecosystem, or, you know, our food chain, our food web. You know, we really, obviously, we're the top of the food chain, really. Obviously, no, there's no predators for humans. So, but we're so distanced from the food that we consume, whether it be plants or animals or, you know, fungi or whatever, that it doesn't matter. We don't care where it comes from anymore. You know, we've become grown to accustomed to that. You know, we just go to the supermarket, boom, we pick it up. It's, you know, wrapped in cellophane or, you know, whatever it is. So we've come disconnected, so we don't even realize that, you know, where that meat has actually come from and how that meat gets there. Or even, you know, it doesn't have to be meat. It could be any type of food product.
Yeah.
You know, we can get – getting fruit, you know, in the middle of winter, you know, especially like say you live in a northern – say you live in New York or something, if you can get – a tropical fruit up there. That didn't happen, 30, 40, 50 years ago. You know?
No, you got what was in season. So
exactly.
You got kale.
Yeah. So it's the disconnection from our food, you know, the food chain is, I think, has caused us a lot of problems, including obesity, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of sad too. If you take a step back and just look at the system where we're feeding cows grain, evolutionarily, that's not what they eat. They don't stay healthy while they're eating that. So farmers, big factory farms, have to give them antibiotics just to function as a normal cow, kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So most of the time, when you get the grass-fed or the pasture-raised or whatever, you're going to see that it's antibiotic-free because they're not in cramped conditions. Their stomach fauna is getting exactly what it needs, grass, which is what a ruminant, like a cow, has evolved to do, not sit in a pen poop like right next to another cow and eat grain. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but it's cost effective. And since we're so disconnected, we don't see it every day. So we're like, oh, I mean, it's yummy.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
No, I agree. And like I said, that's one of the things that I think is one of the big issues now. But luckily, I think the trend is going towards getting back to kind of how we used to, you know, see food as a huge part, that a huge responsibility too, that we've got to treat our food sources correctly, whether it be, you know, animal or vegetable or plant, you know, animal or plant. We got to treat them. We got to treat them correctly in order to treat us correctly. You know.
Yeah.
I think we've
now, if we look at how things are trending, where it's becoming more popular to have pasture raised, there is a good point on the other side where when you have a cow and like that's free range or whatever, and it's pasture raised, you need much, much more land for that one cow. And nothing else can grow there other than the grass. So you're losing a lot of agricultural space just to have that one free range cow. And I mean, that's not just cows. It could be any animals you have, you know? Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's a good point. That's exactly, I know there's, obviously I think per acre, it takes more, you know, per acre to raise one cow on grass fed than grain fed.
Oh, you know, for sure.
For
yeah.
This, you know, and it's interesting. Food Inc. is a good documentary to see there. There's a farmer, I think he's based out of Virginia, called Joel Salatin. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He does, you know, he has a pretty interesting system where he has multiple animals kind of living in the same space. They just, they share it, but so they rotate around the farm. So he'll have.
Okay, is it the guy that has the fence, the movable fence?
Yes.
That he moves with him?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, he has a mobile chicken coop that can move every day. And then he has kind of like you said, a mobile fence where the pigs will be in one section. And then a couple days later, after they've eaten there for a while, he can move the fence so they can go to another section. And then the cows and the main thing. And then he even has it so the chickens go first. So they poop and fertilize the grass. So that, and then the cows eat the grass. Yeah, he's got it figured out. And like I said,
he's got it down to a science for sure.
Exactly. And the thing is, too, I think another topic we shouldn't go too far into today is I think there's too much of an emphasis. Ooh, I can't even see that word. An emphasis on eating protein. You know, like I said, I think we're over consuming protein.
Yeah, you don't need it every single meal of the day.
You know, I keep saying 40, 50 years ago. Back then, you know, protein was a premium. That was, you know, something special. I remember my grandfather talking about when he came, he immigrated here from Mexico. He said they maybe got ground beef once a week, maybe. You know, everything was corn and beans, basically.
He probably loved it though when he got it.
Oh yeah, it was a treat. You know, like we talked about. That's how we talked about last week, and we talked about our Girl Scout cookies was our treat.
Yeah,
ground beef was his treat. You know what I mean? And I think that's something we're going to have to figure out. You know, as the years go on, how we got to kind of, you know, bring down our protein intake. You know.
Yeah. Okay. You ready for this? I got a solution.
All right.
I was up north this weekend. And I was talking with my cousins, and my wife was visiting family. And when I saw her, she gave me a box of dried crickets.
Dude.
Now, insects are packed full of protein, and you can crush them up into a fine powder and make protein bars out of them.
Dude.
Like, not whey protein, but make protein shakes.
The next taste test, I've already looked at them. They're called XO bars. They sell them on Amazon. They're
all right.
They're
all right.
Cricket.
Hey, Mama Knox, XO bars.
I think it's EXO, and it is cricket protein flour. So, like you said, they dry out crickets, ground them up into a flour, put it into a bar. I already looked at them. I think it's a little bit more expensive than those Epic bars. Just not by much. Maybe a couple like 10, 20 cents more per bar, but.
Okay.
They got, I think, like peanut butter jelly flavor, chocolate chip. Yeah. So I've already thought about buying those. So maybe that'll be our next taste test, you know.
That'll be awesome. I think, honestly, dude, that's the wave of the future. But we got to get the infrastructure first. China's already doing it. They already eat insects. It's not a big deal. But people here, it's just like, ugh, I don't want to eat that. But we're going to eventually need to resort to a different protein source because Absolutely. We're overfishing, we're overcrowding farms, you know. And we need something new.
Yeah, and if you think you don't eat insects, what do you think lobster is, people? lobster is a sea cockroach, basically, okay? So you're eating insects. They're in the same family, okay? They just live in different ecosystems. One thing I wanted to say, because we are pushing the 30-minute mark here. I know, like I said, we got into the whole grass-fed versus grain-fed kind of topic. And the only real difference when you think about buying something grass-fed opposed to grain-fed is that a lot of protein – I know we kind of got on the protein, so it's a good segue. A lot of protein powders nowadays are marketed as grass-fed isolate, whey protein. So obviously, they isolate the protein molecule or the protein portion of a dairy product, whey, you know, whey's in milk, and they isolate that for strictly the protein. Nutritionally speaking, grass-fed protein and grain-fed protein nutritionally is exactly the same. There's no benefits from one opposed to the other. Like I said, but, you know, say you want to buy grass-fed protein because obviously you're concerned with animal welfare. Maybe you like the idea environmentally speaking. Go right ahead.
So it seems like morally, if you feel like that's the right thing, then do it. But otherwise, if you're just looking at the bottom dollar, they're the same thing.
Yeah, nutritionally, from the information I've heard, protein is protein. Like I said, when you deal with the fat content, grass-fed is better. But when you look at the protein content, grain-fed and grass-fed is exactly the same.
Good info, man.
Yeah, like I said, I found that out on the Primal Blueprint, that podcast I referenced earlier. So check that out. And other than that, I think we've thrown out a lot of information. Hopefully some of it's accurate for this week.
Yeah, can I give a shout-out?
Of course.
All right. First off, Mama Knox, we got to get you on the podcast. And we will. We've just been busy. And second of all, Greg Osborne, he's given us some feedback that I need to talk with you about. He's been listening, and I appreciate that.
Awesome. Yeah, I got my I have my old trainers that live in Denver. They own a gym out there, an MMA gym, and one of them is going to be listening to the podcast, I think, for next you know, hopefully in perpetuity, to give me some notes too. And I know my mom listens, like your mom, and maybe, hopefully maybe one day we'll both have our moms on, dueling moms on the ETT Rap Show.
Oh, you know what? What we need to do, my mom's going to be visiting at the end of May. Let's do a workout with her and maybe we could have her on.
Sounds good. That'd be perfect. Yeah. We can have Mama Knox in person. I like it. All right. Well, I think call it a day for this week's ETD Rap Show. Thanks for joining us, guys. Stay tuned. You can get stay tuned to the outro. We'll have all our contact info, and please comment, share, give us some feedback. We want to hear what you want. We want to hear what you guys think about the podcast, and hopefully we can get some feedback and we use it on a future podcast.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening.
This is another ETD Rap Show. We'll check you next time.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.